Conference record has joined the conference.
Okay. Recording
has
been good.
Thank you. Thank you, Vicky, for setting this up. Hello, everybody. This is Patrick Curran. I'm a chair of the JCP organization, and we're here with the second of two calls around the special election. We did a call last week at which we introduced the two Oracle nominees for ratified seats, and today we have them present and also some of the candidates who are standing for elected seats. So first of all, some background. Our elections usually take place in October every year. One-third of the members of each EC are up for re-election every year, so we rotate on a three-year basis. But if there are resignations during the year, then we will hold a special election to fill those vacancies, and that's what this is. This is a special election. There will be another election in October of this year. In this election, we have four seats to fill. Two of them are ratified seats and two are elected seats. To explain the difference, a ratified seat is a seat for which Oracle chooses a nominee, and that process involves trying to balance geographies and particular interests within the Java community. Oracle nominates someone, but then they go on the ballot like everyone else, and they must be ratified or approved by the electorate. So we have two nominees for ratified seats on the SEEE Executive Committee. Just for those of you who may not be aware, there are two executive committees, one for the Java SE and EE combined, and one for Java ME. So we have two ratified seats on the SEEE Executive Committee, and we have one elected seat on that committee. An elected seat is one that's completely open. Anyone in the organization can nominate themselves, whether an individual or an organization. They can nominate themselves to run for the elected seat, and obviously you may end up with several nominees. And then we go into the election, and the electors choose the one they prefer. So we have one elected seat on the SEEE Executive Committee and one elected seat on the ME Executive Committee. The process, the nomination period for those elected seats has now closed, so the list of candidates is now final. And today is Tuesday, April 26th. We are recording this call. We'll post the recording online. And the election starts today and runs for 2 weeks. All the members of the organization are eligible to vote, and we hope that they will. So 2 weeks from now, the election will close, and the new candidates will take their seats on the executive committee on May the 10th. So that's the background on the election. A little on the format of what we'll be doing today. I will, first of all, introduce Steve Harris, Senior VP from Oracle, who will say a few words about the election from Oracle's perspective. Then I will introduce each of the candidates and ask them to talk a little about themselves, about the organization they're representing, why they think that they are a suitable candidate, what they would like to achieve on the executive committee. And after that, we'll open it up to questions. Before I turn it over to Steve, though, let me list the candidates. So let's start with the SEEE Executive Committee. As I said, there are two ratified seats on that EC. The two nominees, which you probably heard by now because this is not today, are Goldman Sachs, represented by John Weir, and the Brazilian Java user group SoJava, represented by Bruno Souza. Then we have, as I said, an open elected seat on the SEEE Executive Committee, and we have several candidates here. In no particular order, we have the Central Ohio Java Users Group, represented by Dan Sline. Oh, I should have said, both Bruno Souza and John Weir are present on the call. Dan Sline is also present. We have an individual, George Gastaldi. George is not present on the call, so in order to learn more about him, you will have to go online and view the materials there. Let me just check. George, do we have you on the call? No, we don't. Another individual, Sadiq Hamid. Don't think he is present either, so again, you'll have to rely on online materials to learn about him. One corporate application from LifeRay Inc., represented by Brian Chan. Brian, do we have you online? No, we don't. Okay, we have the London Java community, another Java user group, represented by Ben Evans, and Ben is present on the call, I believe. And okay, so that's it for SEEE. On the ME Executive Committee, we have one seat open. It's an elected seat. And as it happens, we have only one candidate. The candidate is Alex Terrazas. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Alex?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay. All right. And as you hear, Alex is present on the call. So, guys won't have to remember all of this because all of the names and the position statements and so on will be posted online shortly. But anyway, to get us started, that's the list of candidates, and that's who we have on the call. So, now I'm going to turn it over to Steve Harris from Oracle to say a few words. Steve, maybe you could first of all introduce yourself so that people know who you are and what you do at Oracle, and then give Oracle's perspective on the election.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. And thanks to the candidates and for everyone listening in on the call live today and who's taking the time to listen to it online later. So this is Steve Harris. I run the application server development team here at Oracle, but most relevant to this conversation, that includes the Java EE platform overall. And I've worked very closely with Patrick and AJ Patel in trying to identify this terrific set of candidates for the ratified seats here. So I guess, first of all, I want to just say that I'm really very happy here at Oracle about the momentum that is building with Java and how that's going along. And in particular, I think as we've stated many times, the JCP itself as an entity is very important to us to be functioning properly and so on. And I think we've had a lot of success in initiating new things through the JCP, and hope the strong executive committee across the board will continue to help support that. We have taken quite a while to decide on these nominations, primarily because we really wanted to get it right, and I think this is part of the feedback process we've had along the way to find really good, really strong candidates. And to that end, we're really happy to be able to submit SoJava and Bruno Souza and Goldman Sachs and John Weir as candidates for the ratified seats on the EC. With SoJava, and we've actually talked about this earlier on, but I think it's really actually terrific to be able to nominate the first Java user group for the EC and really give a voice to the Java user group community and the broader kind of development community, and actually to recognize the importance of Brazil in the Java world overall also, which is a key part of this from our perspective. And then in Goldman Sachs, I think as we are continuing to deliver on what we've talked about as our commitment to expand the representation of these tech-savvy but non-vendor businesses whose success is completely dependent on Java's success to the executive committee. And along the way, companies who, you know, are really doing leading-edge kind of work in Java and dealing with the realities of that in their critical business sort of situations. And to remind you, actually, Ericsson and Credit Suisse are a couple of really good examples of other EC members who kind of fit this mold. So we've been interested in pursuing that and are very happy to have Goldman Sachs step up to do that with us. Overall, I would just say I think we believe that a diverse set of representatives from vendors and individuals, open source communities, participants, Java user groups, technical leaders kind of across the board with strong Java practices and so on are really key to having a functional and well-represented set of viewpoints on the JCP and to sort of produce a better, more open, agile JCP as we work on that in the future. And the last thing I want to say is that I appreciate everybody listening in on this, too, because I think the elections are actually very important to us. So I hope you will vote, and I hope you as, key members in the Java community will suggest to your colleagues that you also participate in the election. So I think that's it from my perspective.
Okay. Thanks very much, Steve. Okay. So as I suggested, we'll go into each of the candidates now and ask them to say as much as they want to say about why they want to be on the EC. I should have said at the top of the call, by the way, we scheduled 2 hours. I don't know if we'll need 2 hours. We may well go more than 1 hour. We'll just stick around as long as we need to. So simply because I'm looking here at the materials as they'll be posted online, I'm just going to go through in the order that they are listed here. So let me say that then this will be John Weir first for Goldman Sachs, then Bruno Souza for SoJava, then Alex Terrazas for the EMI open seat. Then I will ask Dan Sline to talk. And let me see. Finally, it will be Ben Evans. So that's the order that we'll do it in, just so you guys don't get caught by surprise. So let's start with Goldman Sachs, and the vessel will be representing them, John Weir. So, John, over to you. Why do you and Goldman Sachs want to be on the executive committee?
Okay, well, thanks, Patrick, and hello to everyone on the call. I think that from a corporate end user perspective, I think Goldman Sachs brings a very unique perspective to the Java community. We represent internally a very large proportion of our code base is written in Java and has been for pretty much since Java's inception. We're a large financial services firm, relatively unique in the fact that we actually develop and build nearly all of our own software. We tend to use very little proprietary software within this space because our problems tend not to lend themselves to solutions that are available at a wholesale level. The technology at Goldman Sachs is a very large part of the firm, represents more than a quarter of the firm. And we were at Java 1 last year. We ran a stall to some extent to actually explain to many of the people who actually turned up at the Java conference the importance of Java to us as an organization and the size of our commitment to it. I think many people don't think about end user firms and the size of the communities and the commitments that we have to make this stuff happen. The firm, as I said, custom builds pretty much everything that we have. And for most of the high volume processing aspects, which is a part of the firm that I actually look after from my role here, we're very focused on high performance, highly scalable, resilient processing that's very safe and sensitive to latency, but in a strongly transactional context. We build our software ourselves. We've relied very extensively on the open source community. We leverage pretty much a very broad spectrum of open source components, both as a consumer and contributing back to open source projects as well. We think Goldman's represents a good aspect to the JCP in the fact that it really starts to represent as Steve called out in his remarks, the part of the community that really isn't providing tools into the Java space, but actually is consuming it and integrating it and making it interoperable with all the other things that we do. we have to work in a place where we have lots of competing sort of like vendor products that if we do use them, we need to make them happen. We want to conform to standards, leverage the same standards everyone else is doing, to build out and actually keep innovation and technology innovation alive. Just a little bit about myself. I've been a Java developer since the late 90s. I was a C++ developer prior to that, and in pretty much 8 or 10 other languages prior to belonging to Goldman Sachs. I currently look after an organization of about 1,000 people doing predominantly Java development in the post-trade processing space, processing billions of transactions each day. From a firm perspective, my focuses are going to be on things like on management features, so running lots of VMs across many thousands of machines, exploiting parallel processing as the core count on hardware improves, being able to exploit that and actually make sure that the Java platform continues to excel. We do a lot of serialization of Java objects and the efficiency of that and the safety as you deal with multiple versions and versioning issues is very important to us. As computing becomes much more ubiquitous and we head towards the cloud and we think about dynamic computing, the management consoles, the APIs to support that, the increased separation from the physical machine is very important. And then clearly also security. We're very sensitive to the data that we process and to who can access it and thinking about how that ties into both ourselves and actually across the industry as well. And I'll stop there so that we can get all the other candidates to do a similar thing.
Okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Before we go on to Bruno, let me just ask those of you who are not actually speaking, if you could mute your phones, *6 should do it. Star 6 will unmute later. That will help the clarity of the audio. Okay. So next I'm going to ask Bruno Souza from SoJava to speak. Bruno, over to you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Thanks, everyone, to be here. I think that every JCP election is an important one because it gives us all the right to participate in a way in the process. So thanks for being here participating. So Java, the Java User Society, is a large Brazilian Java user group. We have around 40,000 members spread throughout the country. And so Java is a very, very active user group. We run several events around the country that every year. National events. We have events in São Paulo and in different cities. We run an important free Java event together with International Free Software. But one of the least known parts of Java is that the user group has organized a series of participations on standards and discussions in Brazil. So we have been working with strongly the Brazilian government and with lots of different companies to strengthen the use of Java in Brazil, to make sure that the Brazilian standards do include Java technology. So we have worked in Brazil was discussing the usage of free software, for example. So Java was fundamental in making sure that Java was one of the technologies being considered. When Brazil was discussing the Java in the digital TV, for example, we discussed it with the players, so the importance of Java. So we have been a part of these discussions and standard discussions in Brazil for a long time. And in terms of the JCP, so Java was the first Java group to join the JCP, and many of our directors are part of JFSRs. And I think that's, we consider JCP the most important part of Java because that's where the main, all the Java players and users can come together and discuss the future of the technology. So our intent to be in the JCP is to help drive the JCP forward in a way that vendors, users, companies, can contribute freely to the future of Java, so we can have more innovation in technology, but they can also benefit from the results of those contributions. So we'd love to see more implementation of the Java standards, more inclusion of the Java standards in national standards, for example. We'd like to see Java more widely available. So for that, we need, you know, companies, projects, communities to be able to benefit from the specs. And for that, we need, you know, more transparency in the JCP. We need more engagement from everyone. We need more participation. And that's why we want to participate, you know, because we want to bring more the side of the Java developer, the Java user, into the process. A little bit about myself. I have been working with Java since 1995. I've been a Java evangelist for Sun for many years. And on this role, I have worked a lot with different standard organizations. I was the one that defended Java on the ISO discussion here in Brazil. Brazil was one of the countries that voted yes on the ISO discussion in the past, before the JCP was created. And I was the technical commentator for Sun at that time. So I've been involved with Java and standards for a long time. I've been involved with governments and larger Java projects. And my interest is bringing this experience and the experience with the Java users community. I have been working with Java user groups for many, many years now. I have helped found the worldwide Java user groups community and many user groups around the world. So I want to bring all this contact and expertise in learning what the user groups community wants and the Java developer wants into the process and evolution of Java. So that's it. Trying to be quick so the others can talk. Thanks.
Thank you, Bruno. Okay, so next let's switch from the SEEEC to ME. Alex Terrazas, please introduce yourself and talk about your candidacy.
Okay, great. Well, my name is Alex Terrazas. I have a PhD in cognitive neuroscience, but I'm also a tech developer. I have my own company, Media Balance, in East Lansing, Michigan. I live off of large federal grants that are designed particularly in the health area. So I've used Java over the last, say, 10, 15 years. I wrote a book on Java media programming. I was also part of the Java Advanced Imaging Specification Group. Most recently, I've done a lot of embedded development and haven't been working as much in Java. Recently started projects in Android in computer vision and augmented reality, and really came to see some of the shortcomings of Android. And so I went back and saw that Java ME is still alive and kicking, and I thought that really what Android is lacking is what Java ME has, you know, specifically the JCP and more stability and that kind of thing. So, you know, I recently sold some of my technology in the defense area, and I have a year where I can do whatever I want, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of volunteer and keep Java ME alive. So that's my primary interest in running for this position.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Fresh voice and a fresh perspective in the Java ME world. That'll be interesting. Thank you. Okay, let's next go on back to Java SEEE and to the open, the candidates for the open elected seats. We have two out of the five represented here. So let's start with you, Dan Slein, representing the Central Ohio Java Users Group.
Thank you, Patrick, and thank you, everybody, for setting up this meeting. So a little bit about the Central Ohio Java Users Group. The Central Ohio JUG, or COJUG, has been around for approximately 14 years and we meet twice monthly with a focus on providing knowledge sharing on Java and related topics, as well as professional networking. Typically, our meetings during the day are a lunchtime meeting and an evening meeting as well. And from, I just moved up to Ohio from Houston, where one of the things that I did was a, there was a Houston Tech Fest that came up in where it was a .NET centric in event. And so once I found out about it, we were able to get a Java track put into the event. And then I was the Java speaker coordinator for the event, for the first 4 years up until, I moved up to Ohio. So a little bit about why we're running for the EC position is right now the Kojug is a community-based group. And because it's community-based, we have several goals while serving the JCP Executive Committee. One is to ensure that the proposed JSRs are implemented in a manner that improve the language for both current and future releases. Make sure that the JSR requirements are approved and implemented in a consistent manner in the spirit of Java. Ensure that the JSRs implemented are not going to be counterproductive to the Java language. Ensure that Java continues to evolve with new releases of features and functionality in a timely manner to ensure the success of the language of the future. Ensure that the JVM-based languages, JSRs, are supported, provided they're not counterproductive to the future of Java language. And also, most importantly, in one thing, I guess, with also Bruno's position on there, is really to act as a voice for the Java community to ensure that the community has a voice as well. As a lot of times you hear rumblings of people aren't happy with something that happens on the EC. So part of the role that we'd like to take on this is act as a voice for the community. So if people in our JUG or other JUGs have questions, they can come to us and we can help address them or even bring them up to the EC and give them the voice that they haven't had before. So to answer the question of why I think I make a great candidate for this is I have over 16 years experience in the software industry in both consulting roles in industry as well as for software companies. I've worked in various systems with financial, healthcare, utilities, government, energy, and education systems. I've been using Java and its related technologies on a professional level since 2000. I learned Java on my own out of a focus group that was formed out of another language, wondering if it was going to survive, and back in 99, and we wanted to get ahead of the curve, so we didn't become dinosaurs. And basically, I want to make sure I've spent a lot of time in Java, a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and long hours with it. So I want to ensure that the language survives, not only for the present generation, but also for the future, which goes back to the items in the position statement as well. And from a work perspective, I'm a vice president and an architect with JPMorgan Chase in our corporate technology group. I just graduated from our expert engineer program, which is there's approximately 240 expert engineers out of a total of approximately 24,000 IT professionals in the firm worldwide and across all lines of business. I have a bachelor's of science in management with minors in math and computing from Ithaca and a MS in management information systems from Texas A&M. And I'm also a Sun certified Java developer. From a community perspective, I've been very active in the Java user group community for several years. I'm involved in the global Java user group community. I was at the summit in January with Oracle. I'm on the biweekly JUG calls, and I try to keep abreast of what's going on in the Java community. And that also goes back to how that will feed into the EC, is because if you know what the Java community is doing, then as an EC member, you can make better decisions that will help further the Java language and platform. I am the JCP liaison for several Java user groups, including JUG USA, which is a umbrella JUG for the member JUGs within the United States, Central Ohio Java Users Group, and I'm just finishing up with the Houston Java Users Group, which is where I'm moving from. I've presented at several of the local JUG groups and also Houston Tech Fest, where I was also the Java speaker coordinator, as I said before, when I was able to inject the Java tracks into a mainly .NET-centric conference, and it's been very successful ever since, as well as getting more people, getting the community to come out and getting more awareness from Java. I also led and organized the Improving Your Java User Group, Birds of a Feather panel at Java 1 several years ago. Before joining Chase, I worked as a senior developer and a technical architect for a work management company, Logica CMG. I had several consulting projects before that, and I also worked for EDS from 94 to 97 and graduated from their expert systems engineer development program. And one thing that I think gives me a good perspective is I'm able to look at the technology as it comes before the executive committee from several different aspects, from a developer aspect, from a technical lead aspect, from a management, and also from an architect perspective to see how this relates into each one of those buckets and to see if there's things that need to be tweaked with it. And as a personal note, I enjoy Java so much that I even have Java in one of my own personal phone numbers. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Next up, we have the London Java community represented by Ben Evans. Over to you, Ben.
Okay. did I come off mute all right?
Yes, you did.
Good. Okay. Hello, everyone, and hello to everybody that's listening on the call. So I'm Ben Evans, and I'm representing the London Java community. Now, the London Java community is a fairly large JUG. So I think we're currently running at about 1,700 active members. And we have a sort of a fairly flexible schedule of events. We're quite a broad church. We sort of encompass and act as a bit of a mothership for several other Java-related communities and for language communities that run on top of the JVM. So we have a sort of a Clojure subgroup and a Scala one and various other sort of related communities that we sort of form a little family of. So that gives us quite an interesting perspective because it means that the membership of our sort of Uber community is actually very diverse, and that means that we tend to hear a lot of very different opinions, and different angles on the industry, which I think makes us a very strong community and a very strong group. The group's actually run by a committee of about 8 or 9 people. So it's quite a deep and flexible bench of talent, which I think is important, that it's very much the collective experience, both technical and community building, that really is represented by London. London, of course, is a major centre for development, particularly Java development. We've got a lot of financial firms. We also have a thriving media presence as well. And that provides an ecosystem for the Java language and for JVM technologies, which again is complicated and a very rich and very complex environment for Java and its related technologies. A bit about myself: I am a technical architect and a lead developer at a large financial firm. I've been working in technology since the late 90s. I originally learnt Java in 98 or 99 to teach in university students, and it's been one of my primary programming languages, certainly since the early years of the noughties. I'm currently writing my first book on Java, which is called The Well-Grounded Java Developer, which will be coming out from Manning later on this year, along with Martijn Verberg, who is another one of the leadership committee for London. Regularly present at conferences both in Europe and in the States. So the next one will be a piece on Java standards, which is going to be delivered at OSCON in a couple of months' time. So why does the London Java community, why do we want to be on the SE committee. Well, really, it's about bringing that experience that we have, that, that richness and complexity of our community, and basically injecting that into the SE and EE executive committee. We think that we can bring a lot to the table. We think that we have a lot of experience and a lot of diverse kinds of experience, which can actually really help to move the platform forward. Our view is that the Java Virtual Machine is the most capable general purpose machine that we have, and with a lot of the changes that are being proposed, but for example the merge of JRocket technologies, there's a real opportunity to keep the platform well out in front of the competition, and we think that some of the experiences of what's working and what's not working that our members have had and have communicated to us. We think that that's a very valuable experience and will really help to improve the direction and just by providing some of the experience that we've had. We have on the committee we have a large number of people from different parts of the community. We have Apache project leads. We have people who are just recent graduates. And that cross spectrum of ability, I think, is really what makes us want to come and contribute.
Okay, thank you, Ben. I just wanted to double check to see if any of the other, there are three other candidates for SEEE, see whether any of them have joined us late. George Castaldi, Sadiq Hamid, Brian Chan from LifeRay. LifeRay. Any of you on the call? No. Okay. All right. So thank you to all of the candidates for talking to us. So now I'm just going to throw this open and see whether we have any questions from people on the call. So if you have a question, please just jump in. Need to unmute yourself first. Any questions from the from people on the call? I certainly have some, so maybe while you're thinking of it, let me start with one. I'm extremely pleased that we have now active JUG participation from an election perspective. We have one JUG being nominated by Oracle and two others running for the one open seat, so obviously you both can't win. I'm really pleased about this. I've thought for several years that the energy and the enthusiasm of the JUG community was a very valuable resource that we were not tapping as well as we could in the JCP. So whether or not you win election, I'm hoping that you will continue, your JUG will continue to be actively involved in the JCP. Let me ask each of you, and Bruno also, have you any ideas about how we can involve your members themselves in the process, in the community? Like I say, you know, we have a tremendous amount of energy, enthusiasm there. These guys have the commitment to show up to your meetings on a regular basis. We have many JUGs that are members of the JCP now, but so far we haven't done a very good job, I think, of harnessing the energy and enthusiasm of the members of those JUGs as active participants. So I'm interested to hear your ideas about how we might do that. Let's go back through the three of you in the order that you originally presented. So, Bruno, you want to take a stab at this first?
Yes. Let me start by mentioning the issues of the problems of making this, which involves JUG members, or actually any Java developer, into a standard process. It's a hard task because the standards has a political game that a lot of the developers are not interested. So I'm very, very glad to see many of the JUG leaders being involved with JCP. I think being agile leaders is also doing some political work. So, you know, thank you guys for being here and participating. I think that's totally great. But of course, we understand that not a lot of our members do not even participate on the running of the Java User Group because, you know, it requires the technical work and it requires, like, you know, some social and political skills and everything. So I think that specifications of our, and especially a standard process is a little bit like this. So I think that's the hard part to get people involved. And also, a lot of people think that to participate in a standard process, you need to be extremely technical because, you know, you are writing a specification that everyone is going to use, so you need to be the most technical person in the world. And actually, there's a lot of things that you can do on the specification process that you can help, right? You know, you can help by reading the early drafts of the specification. You can help by giving your opinions on things that you tried. You can help by just listening to the discussions and giving input and things that you think is going to work and things that's not going to work. So I think that we need some education for Java developers to participate more. So one of the ideas that we have, and so Java runs a specification mailing list for some time that we have a few hundred people participate on. There's not a lot of people actually participate in the discussion, but we have some. And our plan is to actually, do more of these discussions more publicly in our events and our monthly meetings, get more people involved early in reading the specifications and understanding what the specification is, to kind of start getting a group of people knowledgeable on reading a spec and understanding a spec and being able to comment on that. So I think that education is the key here.
Okay. Thanks, Bruno. Dan, you want to jump in now?
Yes. Thank you, Patrick. One of the things that we do at every JUG meeting that we did when I was in Houston and then in Columbus is at the beginning of the meeting, I'd go introduce myself, and I would also explain I was a JSP liaison, so at least I got the fact that we do have JCP representation with the actual organization, the JCP itself, and pointing out to them that, for example, if they do want to create a specification or one of the reasons why we're there is to also provide a conduit if there's any non-corporate-based specifications. You can run this with the JCP. You can run them through us. Also, from the election perspective, whenever there was an election, I would say, okay, this is, by the way, this time period is open. Anybody who wants to run, feel free, let me know, and I'll help you work through the process. And this is not only in on the elections, it's not only for the Houston JUG, now Columbus JUG, but it's also for JUG USA, which was one of the reasons why it was formed was back when the JCP, the JUGs had to pay to become JCP members. Right around the time that the membership changed to be a free membership is we looked at forming the Van Ripper, looked at forming the JUG USA to have a one fee and have representation for the JUGs within the U.S. with the JCP. Luckily now it's opened up a lot more and there are several representative JUGs within JUG USA. So that is one of the – so that's those are the ways that I go ahead and I try to help out our user group community and so they have the awareness of what the JCP is and what they can do with it.
Okay, thanks. And Ben, your thoughts on this?
Am I off mute?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Okay. So I tend to largely agree with the thread that that Bruno and Dan have already outlined. We are all aware that there is something of a chicken and egg problem with early stage participation in standards. It can be hard to get people to try out new standards before they become final, because you know on the one hand, many people don't always want to invest time playing with early stage and draft standards. But I think there are things that can be done to improve that state of affairs, and I think that that user groups very definitely can be involved. We can organise events to specifically to target individual standards, but in order to do that, we need to be aware of what state that various draft standards are reaching. So, I mean, a good example of where I think the industry has actually moved on faster than the specification process is around some of the EE standards. I mean, the messaging standard in particular is, JMS is very widely used, but there are non-JMS messaging products out there that seem to have moved the state of the art on. Now, with any technical standardization process, you can sometimes, and I think financial services companies are one example of people who've been particularly good at this, of obtaining competitive advantage by moving beyond the confines of a standard to in the short term. But in doing so, of course, you acquire technical debt and need to reconverge to standard technologies later on when the standards have caught up, if you will. So that's part of a natural part of the innovation process. And I think there are a lot of areas where actually we will see more reconvergence to standard across the industry over the next few years. And that is very definitely an area where user groups can play a role, because you have the working developers and the working architects who are exposed to these technologies which have moved beyond standard, which now potentially would seem to want to come back into the main fold of the standardization process. So by encouraging discussion amongst our members, holding events where we actually try to work both with early stage standardization and also to take the temperature to feed back into the EC committee itself. That means that the jugs can become a very useful conduit for information to flow in both directions.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Patrick, let me just add one comment.
Sure.
The things that were said here, for us to actually teach and reach the developer, it's one important thing is that the process, the standard process, is more transparent. So today we have issues in the JCP, for example, where specifications go on long periods of totally darkness. And that's one of the things that needs to be improved in JCP. And the more transparent and the faster you can actually see what's going on, the easier it is for you to start teaching people and bringing them in into the process.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. And just to let you know, you guys are probably aware of this, we're in the process of working on revisions to the process itself. I'll be filing a JSR very soon to introduce a bunch of changes, and one of the primary themes of those changes will be increased transparency, because we think that's the most important thing that we can do to improve the organization. But more on that later. I certainly have a couple more questions kind of lined up here, but let me just, before I jump in, see if anyone else on the call has any questions that they want to ask.
This is Abraham Otero from Spain. I have a
Hello.
Question for the YentML. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a question for the YentML representing Goldman Sachs. I didn't get his name.
John,
have mentioned John. Okay. John, you mentioned that Goldman Sachs uses a lot of open source projects internally and also contributes to them. Could you tell us to which open source projects is your company contributing?
I think it's actually as part of the data that's posted on the site, but part of the open compute stuff, part of Fedora, various open source projects like Fitness, Trove Collections Framework, the OpenJDK, Zookeeper, GCC, And sometimes we're doing this through proxies as well.
Okay, thank you very much. And I have a second question for Alex, the only candidate for Java ME seat. It's clear that Java ME has lost the leadership in the smartphone arena, at least. It has lost the leadership to iPhone and Android platforms. What do you think has gone wrong with Java ME, and what do you think we can do to fix the problem?
So I think that's very true, and that was part of what got me interested in this in the first place. You know, I think that this Android fork and Android, you know, kind of going off on their own, that's caused a bit of problem for Android in a way, because developers are dissatisfied with kind of the variability and they having to have multiple versions of code to work on different hardware or different software versions of Android. So I think that's one of the strengths of Java ME. And I, you know, I was looking at it. It looked a little bit dark for Java ME when I started thinking about this a couple weeks ago. But I think that one of the things that can save it is the community process, and then possibly this lawsuit. If things change with those two events, you know, Java ME could be right back where it was.
Well, but I think that major changes need to be made to the platform if Java ME is going to compete with iPhone and Android development, because right now they are very different platforms, and I just don't think that the Java ME platform can compete in the same conditions with iPhone or Android smartphones. We will need to completely rethink the platform. It's not just adding things on top of what we have. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, well, it would be nice to do some of the things that Android can do, like use the user interface from the camera, for example, that's installed, and things like that. So you know, there are things that Android can do that seems that we should incorporate into Java ME. But, you know, again, going through more of deliberation through the community process.
So one comment I would like to make about Java ME, I know we're running for the SEEE, but I think this is something that we have to think about the JCP as a whole. The whole process of standardization is something that, you know, you don't create technology in a standard process, right? You standardize technology. So there needs to be some time that the market will go on and innovate and create different things and compete with different ideas. And then at some point, this market competition needs to be standardized so the market can actually grow, right? So because either you have just one player that dominates completely the market, or and then everyone has just to bulge what this player does, or, you know, you have a competing different players doing similar things, And a standard for this, it's something that's important. So that's what we saw on the Java ME side. In the past, you had players like NTT Docomo in Japan. They were doing all kinds of Java stuff on their phones way before a Java ME standard existed. And we had some, you know, we still have some other innovative players doing sophisticated things with Java in different areas. Without having a standard for it. So I think that the JCP must be the process where those players can actually come and sit and discuss and present their technology ideas and come out with a standard that everyone can use. And then we can have multiple players implementing all of these. So, you know, of course, in terms of Android and iPhone, it would require either Apple or Google to come forward with what they have in terms of technology. But I'm sure that the experience that are going on the smartphone marketing, and we have lots of important players that they are part of the JCP and they are part of this market. They are developing Android applications. They are developing Android phones, for example. that those players can bring those innovations and those technologies to the JCP, and then we could have a new like smartphone version or some other way for Java to participate in this market. So I wouldn't rule out the JCP into this process. On the contrary, I think the JCP is a very, very important part on this. But for that, players need to be confident that they can bring their technology into the process and that the resulting specification will be available in the correct terms. So I think that we all need to understand how to do this better. But I think the JCP is very important in this.
Right. And I think the question of whether these come in as separate JSRs for, you know, some limited feature, you know, standards, and then maybe ultimately get merged in is another possibility. So whether those, you know, are directly in the Java ME JSRs and or whether they go through separate JSRs.
Well, the other thing that I could imagine happening is that as the Android devices continue to grow, and I believe AT&T or someone else has, I saw a commercial for a Android that had that acted like a computer, that as these apps continue, as these devices continue to grow in processor and hardware, that the line between ME and SE could be blurred dramatically.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And also, interactivity between ME and SE may become more important.
Do we have any
other? Right now, I think for historic reasons, we have two separate committees, the SE and ME. But, you know, with the smartphones and what Android has shown, There's probably not a lot of difference between Java SE and ME in the device the phones and the device that ME targets. So you know maybe that's a discussion for the JCP in the near future.
We have talked about this. I suspect at some point in the future we will merge the two ECs. In the meantime, just for those of you who will be joining us. You will soon realize that even though we technically we have two different committees, in practice we meet as a single group, and we do discuss both. We discuss matters across all three platforms, and increasingly, the idea of kind of convergence and interrelationship between SE and ME is a hot topic for discussion. So, no matter how we're structured organizationally, we do closely look at these kind of issues. I had one other question going back to Alex again, since we're talking about ME. People often tend to think of Java ME as being all about phones, and I'm interested to get your take on this since you're coming from a completely different environment, I guess. I'm not sure exactly. Small medical devices, you want to say a little bit more about the kind of work that you do and how things look from your perspective, Alex?
Well, one thing is, you know, try to go across all these varieties of platforms, you know, from embedded circuits in small devices all the way up to, you know, more web-oriented systems. And we've tried to hit all those places and try to get interactivity between those. Most recently, I had a grant from DARPA, and our goal was to automatically train dogs for military work. So, you know, we developed embedded systems that could deliver smells randomly, and then dogs would earn rewards on these little mini networks of devices. We didn't use Java for that, but I sure would have liked to. I'm not sure how comfortable I am with it reaching down to those very, very low-level risk processors. And, you know, so not very familiar with how Java's working on these really low-level devices. So I'm very interested in that. I picked it up at the cell phone level also, and that's where I've used Java ME, and then have it send messages to my embedded devices, which are, you know, more usually than C and C++. So, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with Java on the embedded devices, but, boy, if you could write stuff like that, it would certainly be helpful.
Well, without turning this into a completely different direction, let me just say, yes, you can, and people are doing that kind of stuff all the time. Java ME, the acronym stands for mobile and embedded, and there is a whole embedded side to Java that gets very little publicity. So maybe we can begin to explore that over the coming months.
Yeah.
Anyway, any other questions from anyone on the phone? I'm not hearing any. We've been running for about an hour, and I think that's probably close to enough. I think we've had a chance to hear from all of the candidates. Glad that you were able to join us, and as I said, we will put this recording online very soon so that the electors can hear your voices and make their judgments accordingly. We have several candidates for the one open seat on SEEE, and obviously you can't all win. Just say at this stage, I'm very glad that you're participating. I hope that even if you do not win, you will continue to be involved in the JCP, and will encourage your organizations to do so. And don't forget, we will be having another election only a few months from now in October. So if you want to have another stab at it then, you'll be able to do so. So with that, I think I'm going to wrap this up. I want to say thank you to Vicky for organizing, to Steve for giving the Oracle perspective, and to all of the candidates for talking to our voting community. The voting period starts today and runs for 2 weeks. I wish you all good luck, and we'll look forward to several of you joining us on the first executive committee meeting after May the 10th, when you take your seats. So that's all for this call. Thank you very much to everybody, and may the best man or people or organizations win. Good luck to everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Patrick. I look forward to serving the committee.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.